Hello, everyone. Make sure you guys can hear me okay. If you'll just answer me in the chat that you can hear okay, that'll be awesome. I don't know if I'm ever going to get off this sinus cough that I have and own. Jungsi, me doing the research in the background. Let's see. You can hear me. Good. All right. This is who I want to call. Go ahead and raise your hand if you were contacted by Betsy to get coached. Darcy, Carly, Shanna, Jessica, and Kathy Smith. You guys all are scheduled, so we're just going to start going in order. Hi, Darcy.
Hi, Corinne.
How are you? Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. What are we gonna talk about? Well, I get excited.
I'm an April baby, so I'm pretty new here.
Okay. I'm gonna get my glasses out so I'm paying attention. I just can't see good.
Gotcha. I'm really focusing on no BS. I mean, I'm trying to just dial in on that and listen to everything, do my workbook, and just nail down the four basics. But I thought that I would take advantage of the self-love course that you're teaching. I'm not really doing it, but that's like my biggest issue. And I feel like it gets in the way of my weight loss. It's like
what do you mean gets in your way?
I have always had a hard, hard time loving myself, like really having a good relationship with myself.
Okay. So like I just want to make sure that I understand correctly. It's not doing the self-love course that's getting in the way. It's the, I don't love myself gets in the way.
That's right.
And it sounds perfect that you're doing self-love.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to focus on doing that program, but I just know that that's what you're doing right now. And I wanted to.
Why would you not just listen to the workshop and just do the journal prompts each day? That's all you have to do in that program.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did print out the journal prompts, so okay. I am doing those. But I still have a lot to listen to with no BS, you know?
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm on the thought download part.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'll do the course.
But we're on week three, so you're a week ahead, right?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm jumping ahead too much.
Maybe when weight loss is hard for me, or maybe when things are hard for me, I just pile a lot on and don't really like just slow down for a minute and see what's actually going on.
Yeah.
How much time do you have a day to spend on this? If I was going to ask you, like, how much time would it be worth for you to spend on if you could change your relationship with you and lose all your weight? How much time would you dedicate a day? If you could solve it forever.
Oh. Any amount of time, really, if I could change my relationship with myself. I listen to your podcasts and stuff while I'm taking my walk. So that's an hour. And I give myself about a half hour in the morning to journal. And then I have an accountability partner and I check in with her every day.
Okay.
I can't say that I have followed my plan, but I'm learning. I'm learning how to be realistic because I think you just hit the nail on the head. I tend to be a perfectionist, and I kind of feel like I've lived my whole life like in stage two, as I'm sure a lot of people here have.
Yeah, well, most people choose stage two on purpose. It's the most comfortable stage of all.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because I can just keep thinking and doing the way I do it and not actually have to like push through discomfort and figure out a new way to do it. Like I have to let go of believing that I can't do it and believing all these things that I've used as my excuse to stay stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe it's going to take a lot of time. That's a lot easier to think like the program takes a lot of time than it is mm-hmm. to actually look at your calendar and schedule it and then do it when it's on the schedule. That's right. The hard part.
Right.
The easy part is beating yourself up. We're all used to doing that. And our brains are designed that way. So why would we change?
Yeah. And I think I've just gotten in this cycle of beating myself up, you know, since a very, very young age. And I've done all this like work on it and therapy and, you know, I have depression and all that stuff, but maybe it's just an excuse to not want to do this.
Well, if you're not beating yourself, let me ask you this is such a good question. if you weren't beating yourself up for negative thoughts and your body and your weight and stuff, what would you be doing?
I would probably be really happy doing my life.
You would not be happy.
No.
No, this is why it's not working, because you think you would, like, there's no doing happy.
It would be like a big monkey off my back. Happy,
but do what?
It would be like a big monkey off my shoulder if I wasn't so.
What would you be doing, though? Like, if you did not have any more, like, all right, today is, I guess, the day I don't beat myself up. Today is the day that I don't stress out that this is going to take too long. Today is also the day that, like, I don't get to use an excuse when it comes to my food. What would you be doing if that couldn't happen?
I'd probably be following my plan.
Yeah, and that's why we don't do that shit. Because guess what happens when you're following your plan?
You get your results, probably.
You get your discomfort.
Oh, you get your discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, if you have to follow your food plan and you don't want to do the dishes, or your kids are screaming, or say your cat vomits on your brand new couch, whatever, if food's not an option, that means you have to feel bad in the moment.
Right.
I think the biggest problem you guys think is that, like, you guys really have this idea that you're going to get happy when you start losing weight and following your plan and stuff like that. It's like, no, here's what you're going to get. A big healthy dose of all that negative emotion that you're avoiding.
But I am feeling negative emotion all the time. That's the thing.
Right. You're mm-hmm. still going to feel negative emotion. The difference is you're not going to be judging yourself. You're just like, So if you weren't beating yourself up, what would you be feeling negatively about?
Just normal stuff, you know, like disappointments or whatever, you know, normal stuff in life.
Right.
But you're on a level of judgment mm-hmm. that makes it extremely difficult to live inside here.
Right. It's mm-hmm. like your boss yells at you. And instead of just being, like, disappointed that he doesn't like your work, we get shame that we're not good enough. And then we get a healthy dose of worry and angst. We're going to lose our job. Like, mm-hmm. that's why life feels hard. And that's why we eat, rather than just being like, oh yeah, I should feel disappointed. I didn't live up to his expectations. I guess I should, like, try to figure out what I could do differently next time, rather than being like, he should never be disappointed in me. I can't believe I did this. This is going so wrong. I don't know what to do. Where is my donut?
Yeah, I know. And mine is, where is my wine? So that's become like my crutch. And I keep doing my plan without it and then disappointing myself and having it anyway. And then doing an absolute number on myself, shaming and berating and calling myself all these names and thinking I have a problem. And maybe I just really want to have a couple glasses of wine at night and I should put it in my plan.
I would put this is what I would for sure do. I would put the wine in your plan and have it consciously. And then mm-hmm. I would ask yourself, why do I feel like I need it?
It's usually to quiet that voice. I call it like the beast. It's like there's me and then there's this beast. So I think when I have a glass of wine, it kind of quiets that.
Oh, for sure. It's just like food or spending mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
But what you're trying to do is, like, rather than just working on the relationship with yourself, you're saying, well, let me just take drugs. That'll be even better.
Yeah. And it's not.
No, because you feel bad on the back end. Mm-hmm. You're just like, you know, like, think about, like, let's just say that we're not going to have wine tonight. Like, describe to me what's going to happen.
6 o'clock will roll around and I'll start to get really excited because I get to have wine and it's
except,
like,
we're not having it.
I know. Okay. So I'm not going to have it.
Yeah. You and I are not having wine tonight. In fact, I had to do the same exercise earlier today because I really wanted the wine tonight. Guess who didn't plan for wine tonight? This girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I would just probably be uncomfortable for about 10 minutes. And then I would just go take a walk or walk the dog or do something else.
Your brain, does it really think that's what's really going to happen? Like, that sounds nice. That's why every night you end up drinking wine, because you know what happens every night? That's not what happens.
Right.
You think you're just going to be like, I'm just going to be a little uncomfortable. I mean, I've only been drinking wine for like 10 years every single night, you know. Tonight's the night, though.
Yeah.
Nothing really changed since yesterday. Nothing changed since yesterday. Not a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going to happen tonight?
I guess I would just like white knuckle it through and get through. And then I'd go to bed and I'd feel so much better that I didn't have any. And then I would sleep better.
Yeah, but the white knuckling part is the problem.
Yeah.
You haven't learned how to like actually be with all the desire, all the want, all the craving, all the constant thoughts, the like, you haven't learned the part of going through that until you get to where that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
When you tell yourself every day that not having it, it's going to like, well, I'm probably going to be uncomfortable for about 10 minutes and I'm going to walk my dog and be over it. And then when you get there and it's like, what the fuck are we not drinking for? Like, your brain is acting like that. It's like shock and awe. It's like, I was not prepared for all of this. I thought we were going to be elevated, and then we're obviously not. That's part of the problem, is that you guys set yourself up for it. Like, something must be really wrong with me if I'm having an overreaction compared to what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get to the point to where it is just like that. But that first time, what I always tell everybody is, do not go into it thinking it's going to be butt-ass crazy and difficult and you need to white knuckle. You need to visualize what you would like it to be like. And then when you get there, you're open to it being anything that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get there, your job is literally, and it, like, I'm going to tell you, if you're a wine drinker, or let's say you eat food every single night and a lot of it, it's probably going to be 3 hours of mental negotiation, not 10 minutes. There will be moments where it stops and then it will come up again. And then there'll be moments it stops and you'll be like, what time you normally have wine? 6 o'clock?
Pretty much. Yeah. 6 o'clock. And sometimes I'll postpone even till 8 o'clock, but I usually, because of that negotiating, I'm like, just forget it. I'm going to have wine.
So wine, like, even 9 o'clock, your brain will be like, now come on.
Absolutely.
We have time for one at least.
Right. I'm watching a show. You know, I could at least enjoy a glass of wine.
Yeah. Right.
My husband will have a beer. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have one too. Yeah. So
I think the thing is like to understand the difference between like arguing with yourself and postponing it and being like, when is this going to be over? How much longer is this going to last? All that stuff. That is what's exhausting. That's what tires you out. That is what you need to like expect so that you can get out of that without having to go to the wine. So you can just be like, okay, so every time that kind of shit starts, here's what I do want to do. I want to like, and this is a really good hack. This is what I use. The first thing I do is I try to think about what am I physically feeling right now? A feeling, so that everybody knows, a feeling is just the way like you have sentences in your brain. And every sentence that's like on auto repeat, like we should have it. Oh my God, he's having it. I should be able to enjoy a glass of wine. It has a hormone associated with it. The way the brain makes neural pathways is it takes chemicals, creates a neural pathway, and each one of them has their own like chemical function that goes on every single time. When you want to create a different neural pathway, usually a different hormone is required to do that. Right now, you've got a ton of the other ones. And then when you start introducing a new one and it needs to like build one from the ground up, a new neural pathway, those new chemicals plus these, they're doing this in your brain. I mean, it's literally slapping around in itself. It will transport its like stuff through your body. Mm-hmm. This is scientific and the most redneck version of it. So just hang with me.
I am.
As that goes through your body, it's normal for physical sensations to feel very, almost shaky. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people will say when I have them describe strong urges or anger, anxiety, things like that. All of those feelings have very similar, especially when you're trying to do something new, they have very similar physical reactions in the body. That is what we feel like is intolerable. It is the brain trying to rewire itself. It's like, we are used to doing this. Our conscious brain is saying, but this is what we're going to do. So you've got your conscious and your unconscious brain fighting each other at this point. The conscious brain can rise above this guy, mm-hmm. but it's going to feel shaky on the inside. It will feel like shortness of breath sometimes. It will feel like a tightening. You might even feel your muscles tightening. That is when it's like doing its work. So what I do is I tell myself, let's just scan the body. What's going on? Like I'm tapping my feet, my adrenaline's running, something's going on, right? Mm-hmm. When I do that, I've also tasked my brain to quit arguing with itself and given it a job to examine myself. Mm-hmm. Your brain can only really do one thing at a time. So you have to keep bringing your brain back to being like, this is the feeling I'm feeling and how is it going through my body right now? And the more you do that, the more it trains your brain to go to examining your body rather than arguing on the inside. Most of us don't take the time. We're just like, oh my God, I feel uncomfortable. There's an argument. You know, this guy over here, he's got a glass of wine. He wins. You know, this guy over here has enlightenment, a pillow, and discomfort. He does not win.
Right.
That is why we always choose this guy. He's like, I got booze and a donut. Who's going to tell me no? So like, first and foremost is like getting really in touch with that. And then I start telling myself, and that's the worst that's going to happen right now. Every sentence is going to create an emotion, and every emotion is going to make my body vibrate. That's literally what all of us spend all of our waking energy. You're beating yourself up on the regular with no self-love and stuff because at night you don't want to sit with that feeling rolling through your body. Mm-hmm. And when we think about it that way, I think it's so much easier to like, okay, well, tonight's the night. Like, I may not do it every night, but maybe tonight I practice not having wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I'm in for. I am in for some body shaking
mm-hmm.
and a lot of thoughts.
Right.
And you just mentally prepare yourself like, I'm now going to watch what mm-hmm. happens rather than being in the middle of it and feeling like I'm in a tug of war between my wants and my goals.
Right. And then there's that judge on top of it. And it's just like,
yeah, you need to tell the judge, set aside, like tonight right. We're practicing. You don't need to judge bullshit tonight. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. we're doing all of this on purpose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to create an event for ourselves that allows all the shit to come up, and we're not going to judge ourselves for it. Like, like this is what's supposed to happen. I don't know what you're judging, but like every other human in the world goes through this. So mm-hmm. set
right.
it down.
Right. I'm not different.
No, none of you are. I wish we all were, but we're not. That's mm-hmm. kind of the good news though, is because we all are just wired that way.
Mm-hmm.
And like right. all of you guys that have this judgment about your like self-talk and stuff, you've got to give that piece up.
Mm-hmm.
Our brain is supposed to find fault in us. Nothing's gone wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we think everything we think must be true.
Exactly.
It's like, no.
Yeah. We put it in the C line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Like I am a loser.
I should buy me diamonds on the regular and that's not happening.
Right.
Just because yeah. I think it doesn't mean it's coming true.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You don't have wine tonight and just see, try it tonight. Did you plan well?
What?
Did you plan wine for tonight?
I never really do. You know, every day I wake up and I say, I'm not having wine today. And then I end up having it. So today it's not on my plan. No.
I would just, rather than saying, I'm not having wine today, you say it as if it's punitive.
I do. Yeah.
I'm choosing not to have wine today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look for all the little subtle ways that you're throwing some bullshit on top of yourself. Like,
right, right.
I'm not having wine today. As if I have wine, I'm a bad person.
Right. It's like already white knuckling.
I don't. Today
it's like already white knuckling when you write it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and there's a sure ass sign that you're doing it wrong. If you're like making out your plan and it requires white knuckling just to even write the shit down. Like,
right.
This might not be realistic.
Right.
Meet yourself where you're at, because the more you learn And I'll end on this. The more you learn how to meet yourself where you're at, the further, like, you start meeting yourself at new points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys think that that's taking a step back. And I'm like, no, every time you beat yourself up, every time you blow your plan, like, I would rather you guys eat more than you need in the very beginning and understand how to meet yourself where you're at, understand how to do a compassionate plan, understand how to level up and stuff, versus what you guys typically do, which is, I'm just going to sabotage myself on the regular and form the habit of sabotage and shame. It's
right.
Like, I don't know how many people lose weight successfully doing that, but it sounds like a very asshole way to do it.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Love. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So if you're listening to this on replay, you may want to just watch it for a hot second somewhere in the middle of that call, because she had like the best cat. If you're a cat lover like me, and if y'all wonder why I keep cleaning my glasses, I think I've actually got a scratch on these. I'm like, I can't decide if it's a scratch or what, but it's totally distracting. My other glasses aren't up here. All right. Corinne is in squirrel land. Carly, are you here? There you are. Squirrel freaking land. It's really driving me crazy. And I literally was at the eye doctor yesterday and there was no scratch on these. Oh my God. It's like cat day.
I went to get him just because you like cats.
I am such a cat lady, like old cat lady. I was downstairs right before this call. I always like to take a break before the calls. And Lucy was like, yeah, she got on me real quick, started making all the biscuits. All right. So what are we coaching on?
So my question is about some old clothes I have that I cannot seem to decide what to do with. It sounds like a mundane topic, but it's clearly because they have more emotional baggage.
Let's address the elephant in the room. Do they fit or not?
No.
And are they too small or too big?
They're too small.
Okay. Why don't we want to get rid of them?
Because I'm hoping to be able to fit into them again.
Okay. What's wrong with that? Why do we have emotional baggage with that?
Because I feel, because at this point, my closet is only clothes that don't fit. And the floor of my closet is clothes that do fit.
Okay. Why have you not just switched that out?
Because I feel like putting the old clothes away is like kind of putting my goals on a shelf, or somehow, making me feel like I'm giving up on being that size again.
That's your thought about it. You do realize that, right? That's very optional. What if it just meant I'm making room for the clothes that fit until these do? So I probably am going to like work my ass off.
Well, so that's the other question. Is my question is that the clothes, the size I was before, I got there in a very unhealthy way. And I don't know that I even should want to fit into those clothes again.
Okay. So what size are they?
0 to 2.
All right. Do you want to be a 0 or 2 or not?
It would be nice, but I don't think it's like for my body type. I don't think that the only way to get there would be as in an unhealthy way, the same way I was before.
Well, let's just pretend that you could do it totally healthy. Like, just drop your backstory. I'm going to tell you right now, your past story and your backstory have nothing to do with today. You're making it mean something.
Yes.
And that's what's stalling you out now. Like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, you're spending so much time in what happened in the past. Guess what you're not doing? Figuring out how to lose weight today. And you're shitting on your current clothes.
Right.
It's hoarder.
Right. No, I
my husband should get together.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the backstory is definitely,
over.
And, the backstory was just, it was so recent. I've gained all this weight in the last year.
So why does recent even like, this is what I want you to see. You're dedicated to you having a problem right now.
Yeah.
Rather than dedicated to losing your weight.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. I'm dedicated to losing my weight, and I'm in a much healthier mental space now than when I was then. And even though I was very thin, I had so much self-loathing. Now I love myself much more and I'm much happier with physically my, how I feel. Cause literally with 100 pounds, I felt like I was going to die all the time.
Well, let's put it this way. I want you to just imagine that you don't have a backstory about your weight.
Yeah.
You're just who you are today. And you're not a lot, like, I've erased your brain completely.
Right.
And I said, well, how much do you think you'd want to weigh? What do you think looks good on you? What would you say?
140.
Okay. So if you want to weigh 140 and that looks good on you and your past has nothing to do with it, do those clothes fit into the 140 lifestyle or not?
I don't think so. Maybe some of them.
Okay.
But
so
I think they're still too small. I think they would still be too small.
Okay. Then why not just, if they don't fit in your lifestyle, why keep them?
Cause they were so much money. Right. It's like when I look at the closet, all I see is waste. But the truth is, I feel like I'm just wasting time thinking about it when I should just.
Bingo. Because I'm going to tell you, every day that you keep them and they don't align with the version of you that you actually want to be, which is 140 pounds and feeling amazing and healthfully weighing what you weigh, they cost you more money and more happiness and more of your life. Mm-hmm. Their value goes up in expense every day. That's why they're so, it's not the money. It's what you're, it is like, are you willing to let go of that part of your life? You think that somehow they mean like, I don't even understand how you say, if I get rid of those clothes and I only have clothes that currently fit my body, I've let go. You said I let go of my goals.
Well, I feel like I've given up on my goal to me. I mean, the truth is I don't really know if any of them would fit me or not at 140, but I feel like getting rid of all of them is like just saying, well, I'm giving up on this.
You're giving up on a size 0 and a size 2.
Right. Which is probably okay. Right?
I don't know. Is it? There's only one person on this call who knows if you want to be a size 0 or a size 2.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I do. I don't think I do want to be that
size. Let's do this. Why would you want to be a size 0 or 2? Give me the reasons why that would be like, whoop, whoop.
Well, I wouldn't have to buy a whole new wardrobe, number one.
Okay. So you wouldn't have to get any clothes.
Yeah. And I got a lot of positive attention when I was that size, to be honest.
Okay. So then you would have external validation.
Right. Yeah. That's basically it.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If you get to 140, will you be able to have some clothes?
I mean, I think I'd have to go out and buy new clothes.
And would that just like suck royally?
No, it would probably still be fun.
Let me ask you this. If you got down to a size 0 or 2, do you think you'd buy some new clothes on top of having some of these? Or you'd be like, oh no, like I've spent my wad on new clothes. Like this is the only wardrobe I'm having. Like I don't care how fucking cute it is. This is the clothes. No more shopping.
Yeah, probably eventually. Yeah. But I wouldn't have to buy any immediately. Like it wouldn't be a need. I should just get rid of the clothes. Huh?
What about the attention? You think if you weigh 140 pounds, everybody's going to be like, well, you used to be a size 0 or 2. I really can't tell you look good.
I don't actually care. I think.
Except when I asked you what was nice about being a 0 or 2, you immediately went to external validation.
Well, yes, but then I got all this extra attention when I was too thin that was very unwanted. Like a lot of like concern. I felt like I was being criticized. I was a lot of my life being criticized for being overweight. And then I was spending a lot of my time being criticized for being underweight. So at this point,
When you're 140 and some people say, well, you know, you used to be a size 0 or 2, probably should be that. Now what's going to happen?
I don't think anyone would say that.
Let's pretend they did.
Yeah.
Straight into criticism. Like people are going to criticize. Like I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what your pant size is.
Yeah.
Some asshole's going to criticize you. You know who the biggest asshole will be?
Me.
Yeah. That's why it matters.
Yeah.
Because when other people make comments, and if it bothers you at all or is anywhere on your radar, it's because it's validating something you've already thought yourself.
Yeah.
And it's where that's the signal of like, oh, I need to do a little bit more work on, like, I really want to weigh 140. And I think that's where you're at right now. I don't think it has anything to do with the clothes. I think the clothes are triggering your doubt on, do I want to be 140 or do I want to, how much did you weigh? 100 pounds?
97
pounds. I think it's triggering your doubt of, is 140 good enough for me? Because if I get rid of these clothes, what I've done is I've said 140 is now the weight I want to be. Am I willing to commit to 140? Mm-hmm. That's really what's going on here, is your idea of, do I really want to be 97 pounds or do I want to be 140 pounds?
Well, I know I definitely don't want to be 97 pounds.
Except you want to hang on to all the clothes, because if you let go of the clothes, then you let go of your goals.
Yeah. I mean, some of the clothes. Like, yeah, you're right. I mean, maybe I should just pick out the stuff when I was more like a size 6 and keep that around and just get rid of the size 0 stuff.
Possibly, because if you let go of the version of you that you never really liked.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you didn't love it. It doesn't sound like you loved the size 0 version of you.
I didn't love how I felt. Honestly, like, you know, when you're overweight and suddenly you're very thin, mm-hmm. even when you got there in an unhealthy way, it's, you know, you get so much external validation. You never have to think, well, is this going to make me look fat? Because nothing is going to make you look fat, right? So, you know, you put on any outfit and you look good by society's standards, you know, and you're on your way, and there's no like, oh, I have to hide this pouch or, you know, whatever.
Except, so, what is the other price you have to pay though? When you were that thin, what were your worries?
I felt terrible. I'm a doctor, and I'm a surgeon, and so when I stand up for long periods of time, I would feel like I was going to faint.
Yeah.
During surgery, I would have heart palpitations. My children started worrying, you know, they started asking me like, why are you so thin, mom? You know, I had a fear that they were going to find me dead of an arrhythmia or something.
So that's the only reason why I wanted you to say that, because we have so many people who are overweight, and I totally get it. When I competed, I got down to 127.
Yeah.
It was very thin for me. And I felt like a fucking ass. I mean, like, drug through a gutter all the time. Looked amazing, but physically, like, I remember one time Logan needing to go see his grandmother, and I had to ask my mom, would she drive and let me sleep in the car, because I had no physical energy for this.
I did,
yes, for all that stupid competition shit.
Yeah.
And so I know that that's not a good weight for me.
Right.
But I just want you to be like, really aware now, because what's going to happen is if you only tell yourself like, well, I had these great clothes and I never had to worry about my size and I always looked good and everything. What happens is if you don't tell yourself the other side, like, and it really cost me all of this though.
Right.
It was really costing me my fear that I was going to die. And I had, you know, everyone worried about me and stuff like that. It helps letting go of that part a lot easier, because it's like, well, if the only thing that was happening was I could put on clothes, because I want you to hear this. You lost weight and you could put on clothes and not have to worry about your body. You could be the weight you are now and put on clothes and not have to worry about your body. That had nothing to do with being a size 0. That had everything to do with every thought you chose to think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there are women who are size 0 who weigh 97 pounds, who do end up dying because they're still worried about their body.
Yeah.
And that's how we know that's not true. It's always going to be how you think. So what I would like for you to do right now is I want you to do more work on your current body, where you are now, and being like, if you think 140 is a good weight, make that like, that's the next goal.
Oh, that's my goal. It's so much my goal. It's like my screensaver.
Good.
Remind me.
Just like live in that and just be like, when I quit, like, I'm not going to tell you to throw away the clothes or not, but I want you to just look at the clothes and ask yourself, are they worth seeing every day and having mental negotiation about 140 pounds? Or do I just want to be really focused on 140 pounds? Because I think that those clothes are distracting you.
Yeah. It's like, what are they costing me now? The cost of keeping them around outweighs the cost of replacing them, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And get your current clothes off the floor. For fuck's sake, they cost money too.
Well, the thing is I wear scrubs to work every day. So my current wardrobe is like 10 pieces of clothes.
I'm going to tell you right now, your scrubs better be hanging up. If you're going to operate, what do you operate on?
Women. I'm a gynecologist.
If you're going to work on my hoo-ha, I want clean scrubs. I don't want them on the floor.
Very true.
Especially my hoo-ha. Yeah. Speaking of, everyone will be thrilled. I have a gynecologist appointment finally.
Oh, good.
Now we'll be talking to her about the ablation when it's on May 20th at 1 o'clock. It's like all of P&P can pop bottles.
Yeah, we in the doctor tribe have been wondering about your period needs. Oh,
yes.
Like, we'd like to offer.
I finally was just like, this is my story. Let me just tell you what an idiot I am. So I'm sitting around going, it's just so hard to find a new doctor. Like, how would I ever find one? And so I finally just Googled like gynecologist Smyrna, which is 4 miles down the road. No. I did not know that Google would just bring me up doctors who would see me.
One of my residency mates lives in Nashville and she's a gynecologist and is great. So if you don't like yours, let me know.
Yeah, I'm getting in there. Y'all don't worry. I'm done. I'm going to like disallow my bitching and confusion over it. All right. You have a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. Let's see who's next. We have Shanna. Whoop. I don't know what I'm doing here. Hang on. My little button is acting like a donkey. No cat.
I do not have a cat.
It was cat day. Did you not get the memo?
I did not.
All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, just starting off, sliding back into the usual diet mentality that I have. And
How's that working?
I wrote something down so that I could kind of put my thoughts out there quicker. And so I started out writing the same old story, the same old crap, but I know that doesn't work. So I'm not even going to go into why I think I keep going down into a spiral. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to tell you what my goals are. So okay. My goals are to stop eating out of boredom and loneliness and stop giving into urges such as food, spending, social media, TV, things like that. And learn to eat sweets with portion control and stop quitting on myself.
Okay.
Okay. So
how confident do you feel you're going to like get all that done?
Well, I want it. I don't
know. We all do. I still want it. I'd love to be doing all of those things right now.
Yeah. So.
Of all those things, what do you think is the most important?
What do I think is the most important? Giving into urges.
No. Keep going. No. Try again.
Quit. Stop quitting on myself.
That would be the first one. That's always going to be the most important one that you're going to do because you're going to probably give into another. Like, your list is amazing. Like, if you could just turn the switch on tonight, like right now, you would lose weight and you'd have no problems, but that's not weight loss. Weight loss is a matter of the problems coming in, them happening, and then your ability to learn from them and keep going. That's what weight loss is all about.
Right. And I'm even at that point, like I lost over 30 pounds in like 9 months.
Okay.
Doing keto. But I've gained 9 pounds back since I quit keto because that was so restrictive and, you know.
It is restrictive, but it's restrictive good if you do it because it works for your body and stuff. Like, you guys.
I did that totally for weight loss.
Okay. So
but I'm lost enough that, you know, I feel good. I'm able to do all of the activities that I want to do. I sleep well. I eat fairly good. It's just in those
except moments. For urges and overeating.
Yes. And you know, when I think, oh, maybe I do want to lose weight and I start cutting back, then I start getting into that in my head, like, well, I could have that if I wanted it. And then I overeat. So
you can have it if you want it the next day.
Right.
That's the part of the sentence you guys keep forgetting to put on. So mm-hmm. It's like, if you want, like, what are you going to like want today?
Like right now, I don't think anything weird. See, I think it's weird.
What did you eat yesterday?
What did I eat yesterday? I had for breakfast, I had eggs, vegetables, and toast. I had a taco salad that I made at home. And I had fajitas for dinner. The taco salad was lunch. I ate some popcorn.
Was that on your plan?
Mm-hmm. It was okay. Because I had been putting it on. And then I thought, well, I'm ready for it to go off. And so then I quit putting it on there. And then that's all I wanted. And it's just boom popcorn, you know.
I know, but you will want it. Were you hungry for it when you had it?
No.
Okay.
No, it was one of the urges that I had.
Well, that's what you're going to have to be like, okay, so now I'm going to be not having the popcorn. This is when I'm going to be practicing an urge.
Uh-huh.
And that's when you're going to tell yourself, the reason why I've chosen not to eat popcorn today is because I know I'm not hungry. Did you tell yourself all of that, or did you just be like, well, I just want it. I probably should have planned that. That sucks.
Yeah, I just, no. Well, and I did listen to that podcast on the urge jar, and I have an urge jar because that really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. But then it's that mentality thing of actually doing it.
Yeah, but are you like setting yourself up for how you're going to respond to the urge is the thing.
Right. No, I haven't.
And then what do you mean by like quitting?
Quitting is like saying, well, this is how I've always eaten. This is, you know, when I eat a cookie, I eat 10. When I, you know, want popcorn, I eat the popcorn. So I feel like it's a quit when I do those
things. That's not a quit. That's just bullshit. Quit means I stop doing things.
Right.
Like if you quit your job, you're not sitting there at the job going, well, I've always been a bad worker. I'm wondering if they're going to pay me today. That's not quitting. Quitting says, F you, I'm out.
Right.
Send my last paycheck here. That's called a quit.
Okay. And I have done that in the past, but, you know, I haven't quit trying, you know, to take care of my health.
Good. So here's the thing.
Years, so.
I need to just clarify a couple little things.
Okay.
When did you lose the 30 pounds?
Let's see. That would have been 2017. August or September of that year, mm-hmm. I started to lose the weight, and then through June of 2018.
Okay. And then when did you join PNP?
April.
Okay. And then have you lost any weight since April?
No, I've lost.
What's happened since April?
I've lost some, and then I'll gain it back. Just the,
how much? Give me some numbers.
I lost like a pound and a half.
Okay.
And just off and on, you know.
So it's not keto.
No.
Because when you explained keto, it in the beginning, it sounded like you've recently done keto, lost 30 pounds, and gained 9 pounds.
Okay. So I quit keto like October.
A year ago.
October 2018. Yeah.
Like, let's just.
And since then, I've gained from then till, say, January, I gained 9 pounds. Like, so in about 4 months from quitting it, I gained 9 pounds.
Then this is what you need to do. Okay. You need to quit dwelling on that.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, I want you to rewatch the call, and I want you to listen to how you described your situation.
Mm-hmm.
You described a diet you started in August of 2017 and the 30-pound loss as if it's all happened right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the presentation that you gave, which means that is the presentation that's going on in your brain all the time. But this keto, and I gained 9 pounds. Like, you're going through all that. It's like, no. What do you weigh today? What do you weigh today?
205.
205 is where we're at. Right. There ain't no 30 and there ain't no 9 and there ain't no 2017 keto. All of that is what we call the past, and it's very irrelevant to today. The more you keep trying to make it relevant today, the less focused you are on what you're doing today. You're focused on that part. That part's over. All of you, I want you to hear this. You keep coming in here saying, but I got diet mentality. It's like, this is not a disease. Like, we're not going to, like, I've got to give you medicine. You've got the disease of diet mentality. It's like, turn it off like a faucet. That means you don't talk about it anymore. The next time a friend mentions, you can cry all you want. That's fine.
I know. We all cry. It just feels good to be able to want to let it go.
Yes. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like, y'all always come to this cry, just, or come to this call willing to cry. This is the thing. Like, if somebody asks you, if I ask you, if you're ever TDLing or whatever, and you want to go to that shit, just stop. And just be like, you know what? I'm building my life. I am no longer focused on this stuff. It's just not helping me. This is the same talk I give to my people who have been abused in the past. And that is what we do. It's like someone sexually abuses a child, or we go on a keto diet. And then what we do today is we use all of it against ourselves and wonder why we can't move forward. So what I want you to do is I want you to think, all right, so today my food plan is, and what are the ways that I'm going to make this work for me? Because if the past 30 days, if you were just focused on what you were doing in PNP, and you were just every day thinking about how to, like, all right, I've been planning this ice or this popcorn. Do I really need to eat the popcorn? What's going on with the popcorn? Why do I want it so bad? Am I willing to sit there and just want popcorn and not have popcorn? Right. You've been doing that for 30 days, probably be a different story.
I think so too. I think that I feel like I should be further along in how I can do my protocol, how I can do my plan as far as should be different in the realistic, just because I have lost weight in the past.
No, you know what you should be?
If I start today, I need to give myself some grace.
Yeah.
And take baby steps.
Yeah, you should be exactly where you are today. And I say this a lot of times when we're at camp, we do this thing called the future self letter. And you guys do it, I think you guys do it in the Fat Girl Thinking module. But basically what happens is that the version of you that loses, how much weight do you want to lose?
I think I would like to lose 25 to 30 more pounds.
Okay. So the version, let's just say 25. The version of you that loses 25 pounds, she is where you are today. There's no getting around it. There's no should. There's no dancing around today and missing today. There's no jumping 10 steps down the road. There's none of that. That never can happen. Our brains play tricks on us. But I always want you guys to go to the version of you that's lost the weight. She is where you are today. She's waiting on you to take the next step and the next step and the next step. That's the only way you get to her. And that path is not linear. It's got twists and turns and all kinds of stuff. My job is to clear some of the path by, like, pointing out things to you, introducing you to the ideas of your mental work and all that stuff. But ultimately, you're going to have your own problems and you're going to have your own hurdles throughout that whole journey. You have to be willing for those things to come up and to keep going. You're doing a good job of not quitting. But what I want you to do is I want you to quit thinking about what's happened in the past and what should be and who you think you should be and just be like, no, I am, like, committed like a dog is to a bone on figuring out each and every day its own unique set of obstacles and strategies.
I can do that.
All right. I don't think you, I honestly, I think you're just like a thought switch away from this happening.
I think so too. I'm just my own worst critic.
Are you doing the self-love course this month?
I listened to part of it this morning and yeah.
Do it. Like, I keep assigning it to everyone, but even though we're doing I know you guys are also doing No BS, but literally the only thing that you have to do in terms of work, I want all of you to hear this when it comes to the self-love course, because I think sometimes you guys think that I'm blowing you out with work.
No.
Just listen to the workshop. And know it's an hour and 45 minutes, but it is jam-packed with everything you're going to need to know about self-confidence, about keeping going, about the relationship that you're establishing with yourself. And then in that workbook, it's just daily journal prompts. That's all you're doing. You're just going to answer some questions, and it's going to make a huge difference. You will unwrap so much.
I retired 2 years ago from teaching, and
happy Teachers Week.
Thank you. And I'm fortunate enough, I'm retired. I'm not having to work. I can keep my grandchildren, but it's an adjustment. Yeah. And we moved over where my daughter and her family live, so away from our hometown. So I've had a lot of great things, but big adjustments.
Yeah, you'll keep adjusting.
I'm just finding out who I am today, you know, every day. Who am I going forward from here?
And I love that you said that, because the best way to figure out who you are is to quit looking at who you were.
Yes. Yep.
Good call, Mama.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
The self-love training course, Erica, if you go over to pnptribe.com, go to bonus courses, and there's a button called self-love. It's all right there. All right. Let's see. Who's next? Jessica. Excuse me. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
We'll be coaching.
First of all, I just have to show you, since it's Cat Day.
We thought it was Teachers and Nurses Week. No, it's Cat Day.
No, it's Cat Day. I love it. So I had signed up to ask some questions about being done, like basically kind of being close to my goal, and I guess just like sabotaging myself. And I kind of went through a lot of that. And then I decided to give up on this number that I had myself set on, because I feel like the number was tripping me up. And I listened to the podcast the other day where Kathy was talking about her scale, and she like got a new scale and the number was different. And I was like, why don't I just pretend that I have a new scale and I'm already there? Cause it's 3 pounds, and it's like so stupid that I'm torturing myself over this. So I actually gave up on it and then lost 2 pounds that I've been struggling with for like 2 months, because I finally was just like, I'm going to focus on not beating myself up and listen to the self-love and do all this self-care stuff. And
so let me say this. I want to point something out. This is really, it's critical, and I'm glad you said it for everybody who's listening. You had said the number was tripping me up. And what actually happens is there's a number, and you have a lot of shitty ass thoughts that cause probably some like worry, angst,
I can't do this.
Like, it's not fascination, but like obsessive shit. And then you, your action line, like all the things you're doing, reflect crappy thoughts and obsession.
Right.
And when we do that, that's how we trip ourselves up.
Right.
Never the number. But when you stop, when you like say, okay, I know what my number is, but your thoughts went to a different, you shifted your thought focus. You didn't get like, it's not that you started ignoring the number.
Right. I was just like, I'm going to put that away for right now. Like, I'm just going to leave it over here, and I'm going to instead focus on like, how am I talking to myself? Cause I started listening to Katrina Ubell maybe a year ago or a little over that.
I just spent the weekend with her.
And then I found you, and I was like, you are potty mouth. You are my people. Like, I need to listen to you. So I listened and I signed up in January, and I've lost 30 pounds. And like the number that I got to is, like, my new goal wasn't even my goal before. Like, my goal 10 pounds ago, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it. Like, I'm so proud of myself. And then I was like, well, I moved the number, and now I'm like, oh, you know, I'm feeling shitty because I didn't get to this new number, but I already got to a number that I didn't even think that I could get to. So I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, this is so stupid. I just need to stop doing that. But now I feel pretty good about getting to that spot now, but then I'm have this irrational fear of once I get there, like, how do I stay there? And then
you just don't change what you're doing.
Right. I was like, you just keep doing what you're doing, dummy. You get there and you just do that. But I was listening to the rules of normal eating and they were talking about cravings. Mm-hmm. And like I was overeating at night. So I started planning all of my foods that I was overeating. And then they weren't as fun to overeat anymore because it was like 20 different things that I could choose from. That like I got a lot of satisfaction of crossing off everything that I didn't eat that I had planned to eat.
Yeah.
But now like if my kids are having ice cream or something, like I'll want a bite. And like literally the craving, like one bite would satisfy the craving. And I'm like, it's not in my plan, so I'm not going to do it. But like, does one bite really kill you? Like, do normal people eat one bite of ice cream if it's not on their plan and they're just like, I'm done with that. I don't need to eat the whole thing. Like, I just wanted a little taste.
And so what do you think? What do you think, like in your mind, was a normal person do?
I think they probably have one bite. And if they stop there and it.
Oh, you froze up. Well, she froze. You froze up.
Sorry. One more time. I would think that they probably just have a bite and then don't think about it.
Yeah. So this is what I want you to like. This is what I want you to think about. A normal person would just have the bite and they would be very aware that they had. It wasn't that they wouldn't think about it.
Right.
A normal eater thinks about it. They'll have the bite. They'll really enjoy it. And they'll say, and that's plenty.
Right.
And they'll get back into the relationship and back into the thing. Here's what we do. We take a bite, like, oh, that was really good. I hope this doesn't open the door for a problem. Blah, blah, blah. I better start whatever.
I do end up wanting more sometimes, but the problem is if I eat more, that like wanting more never goes away. Like,
and I think that's okay, but are you, the question is, in that moment, are you judging that? Are you like, in my mind, like every now and then I'll have a bite of something.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And what I will tell myself is this is not a habit that I want to maintain, but this also isn't the end of the world. I just want to stay conscious that I did it.
Okay. The big thing is like, I don't want to do it after every meal or every day, but if it's here or there, I'm like, oh, yeah. It's not on my plan.
It's like a lot of time, like Chris and I are going to Vegas in 2 weeks. A lot of times when we're there, Chris loves to order all the things, like by the pool. I'm like, look, dude, that's disgusting. Do not eat the food by the pool. I always want him like, because I'm always like, you're going to drop a nacho in the pool and that's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Everybody who knows me knows I'm really weird about hair in the water and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but Chris will eat like 3 or 4 times during the day. And every now and then I'll want a bite of something, but I keep a log of it. Not in here. Like I'll write that stuff down.
Right.
This is what I think I have agreed with for myself in terms of what normal eating for me will always be. Normal eating for me will be tracking what I eat, like planning it ahead. And if I don't eat what's on my plan, always tracking it so that I can constantly stay aware of myself. That's it. I don't think about it. Like I don't shame myself for ever having anything. I don't do anything like that. I just always ask myself about like the reasons why. I'm on vacation. This is the exact time I want to try some stuff. If I'm just out one night and it just looks good and I feel like I'm missing out, I want to be aware of that.
Right.
That is what I like that is just, it's called that consciousness. It's like, are you willing? Because this is one of the things that in that book they talk about. Normal eaters are conscious of what they're doing. They're just not obsessing over it, or they're not trying to be unconscious, which I think is what differentiates a lot of us who have lost weight is that we've either been completely unconscious with our eating and that's why we're overweight. Then we go super conscious and judgy about it. And there's that coming back to the middle of like being like, this is who I am. That's the unconscious part of like, I've decided I am the kind of person who now eats healthy. And I am a normal eater, and also the consciousness of, and I also watch what I eat and I watch my habits and my patterns because I know who I want to be in the future too. And that is like the mindset I think you're kind of looking for and just to practice.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that and hopefully stop being judgy because the judgy voice sneaks in there sometimes. And I found one kitty and that's the other kitty.
Oh my God, I love cats. I think for you, it's like you're doing the right things, and now we got to get you thinking the right things consistently. You're doing a lot of good thinking, but this is the one little thing. It's like, okay, right. This is your next level work, is like, okay. So now I notice I have judgment over some of the food things that I'm doing. And now I need to release the judgment and get more into the curiosity part. Like, be curious why you're wanting a bite of something versus judging yourself for having it.
Right. Doubting yourself. Wanting it sometimes. I'm like, you know, I shouldn't want that. But like,
no, I would always tell my, like, I'm going to tell you right now, we are engineered and designed to want things. I mean, the food industry, they spend a lot of money making sure everything is designed explicitly for us to want it. I mean, they should. Otherwise, they go out of business. Could you imagine if somebody's like, I want to make a lot of money. Here's some stuff that tastes like shit, but I want you to like want it all the time. They would go out of business. So it's like, that's why I don't hate on the food industry. It's like, they're just out there making their money. Our job is to just be smarter than that.
Yeah. And I guess just let go of the fear that if I'm, I think the other thing I was dealing with is like there's this rolling target of like the number kept moving and I kept making a new number. And then I was like, well, at what point am I just satisfied and I'm happy? Cause I think the real problem wasn't the number. It was that I'm still beating myself up. So I was like, well, let me move. I'm going to do all the self-love. And I really enjoyed the point that you made about like all the self-love things that you do that you don't give yourself credit for. Mm-hmm. There's like little things I do, like music and candles and like a candle melter thing that I have in my office, and just like all these little nice things that I wasn't kind of giving myself credit for. And always saying that I'm too busy or I don't do enough nice things for myself. And then I was like, wait a minute, like I actually kind of do, and I should really focus on that instead of on, you know, I didn't go to the spa or like my roots are like, you know, 2 inches long. Like I'll take care of that. But
yeah,
just like the noticing the little things and refocusing on noticing how far I've come instead of focusing on like this little bit that I have to go still.
Yeah.
That really re-emphasizing that just feel so much more centered and so much more in control and confident.
I think sometimes too, when you've lost a lot of weight, it's really important to take a break and practice maintenance.
Yeah.
Practice the mindset of maintaining and practice the mindset of this being good enough and not needing a goal or target to keep you good.
Right.
See that?
I've been like plus or minus 5 pounds for like 5 months now. So I'm like, I have all this data that like, even though I had many moments where I totally screwed up or I got stressed out and I kind of went back to old habits and like ate everything in front of me for a week and like gained 6 pounds and felt horrible, that I've gotten back on track. And that even with those kind of ups and downs and missteps, that I'm like, I'm figuring it out and I have my own back and I have data for that. So this little like voice that's saying that you should be scared that it's all going to go back to the way that it was, I just need to be like, yeah, go away. Like,
yeah.
Here's my binder and here's all the days of the proof of like, that's not true.
Yeah. It's doing that daily work on just, she's lost 30 pounds. Somebody's asking. It's doing that daily work on like, probably for you, like every day when you do like a thought download, I would write, this is my lifestyle. This is who I am. Like I am a normal eater, like whatever mantras you want to believe, do right. Like I do when it comes to just like business. Cause I've, you know, never owned my own business and, you know, done the things I do. I talk to myself about how I want to be in that business and who I am in that business until I truly believe that I am that person. One thing I did want to add, and then I think this is like good, is the judging of the want. This is what I always tell myself. It's like, I am no longer afraid of wanting something because I can handle it.
Yeah.
Like it's learning the capacity, like, cause what you will always want. So you want to have a good relationship with wanting.
Right.
Which is like, I can handle wanting. Sometimes I may even eat because I want it.
Yeah.
But it's not because I can't handle it. It was always because it was a choice and I will continue to work on that relationship. It's just that idea of, I think a lot of people just don't want to want things anymore. And right. I'm not in the camp that we're ever going to like get rid of that.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got 14 years of, what is it? Empirical. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds really,
it sounds smart. Very smart.
Yes. Like very smart and very elevated, but I have like 14 years of empirical evidence that I still want wine most nights. I still want dessert when a good one walks by. Every time somebody gets a nacho and I didn't get one, I'm like, womp, womp. You know, I mean, it's like it's there. But what I've learned through that experience is that it doesn't have to bother me if I don't make it mean something's wrong with me. It just means I want it. Then I can just focus on not having it versus like fighting to not want to have that experience. Because the only reason why we fight having that experience is either because we think we're broken or we think we can't handle it. Otherwise, we wouldn't fight with it. If we thought we could handle it, we wouldn't care that it happened.
Yeah, I'd like to get to that place where I'm like, I don't care that this is happening. Like, it just is.
You just have to keep practicing it. Like, you have to tell yourself, even in the moment when you don't feel like you can handle it, you still have to tell yourself, I know I can handle this. I am learning to handle this. I'm open to the idea that I am handling this just fine. I mean, it's like, whatever you have to, like, tell yourself, you tell yourself until you really start believing it. And you'll believe it because the more you tell yourself stuff, guys, this is, goes with all these thoughts I always tell you guys to try on. The more you tell yourself those things, then every now and then you'll want something and you'll say no. And it may even just be because you don't even have time to eat it. You'll be like, oh my God, like, look, I'm actually someone who can handle wanting. Like, you'll start finding evidence for it. But if you always feel like you're like someone who can't handle want, then when every single thing you ever want will seem like a big fucking deal when it's not even a big fucking deal.
Yeah. It's definitely gotten to the place where it's so much better. Like, I was feeding my son a Pop-Tart this morning, which is not an ideal breakfast, but he's like, he'll eat it. So whatever. I was giving him a Pop-Tart and like, usually if he didn't finish it, I would be like, oh, I really want that. And like today I just put it in the car and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even want it. Like, I didn't even think about like, oh, I shouldn't take a bite or, oh, I can't have that. I was like, I just legit, like, it didn't want it. And it was, it's a cool feeling. So thank you so much because
oh, you're welcome.
I think I could have gotten there without your help. And like, I'm really grateful.
Are you a doctor too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. What is it? Doctor day? I thought it was cat day.
Oh yeah. It's so weird.
What are you a doctor of?
I'm a pathologist. I'm a skin pathologist. So if someone has like a mole or a rash, they put it on a little slide and I look at it under the microscope.
Oh, my niece wants to do stuff like that. That's what she's wanting.
Really cool. I love it.
Yeah. That's what she's wanting to do. I was, when you said skin, I thought, ooh, like beauty.
Yeah. Well, I'm a dermatologist too, but I don't tell people that because then they start taking their clothes off and like showing me all sorts of stuff. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I probably wouldn't do that either. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. All right. I'm going to grab one more and then we'll get out of here. Kathy, are you here? Let's do you real fast. Hello. How can I help you?
First, why don't she show you Joe?
Oh my God. Like doctors and cats everywhere. I used to have a solid black cat. His name was Murray. Yeah,
that's Joe Johnson. He's my huge, usually likes to be outside, but I brought him in just for a moment. Okay. So I've been taking so many notes. I've kind of lost my train of thought on what I wanted to talk to you about.
You mean remind you, or are you okay?
I'm good. I have my own notes here. Let's see. So I'm an April baby.
Yeah.
I found you in February and I'm down about 18 pounds. I was balls out for the first month. And then I've slowed down, but I'm okay with that.
What does slowed down mean to you?
My weight loss has slowed down.
But like how much? Give me some empirical data.
Like, okay, so I made it to, I was 194. I started at 213. Got down to 194. Then, you know, took my mom on her birthday weekend, went up 2 pounds. Stayed there for another week, lost those 2 pounds.
So tell me this, what did you lose in April?
April, I've only lost 2 pounds.
Okay. And then have you lost any in May?
No.
What is the date? Hang on. I just got to check the date. So in 8 days, like you haven't lost anything in 8 days.
Nothing. I've stayed the same. And okay. I'm okay with you. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you okay with it? Because it says you're in here wanting to bitch and moan about your storm eating.
Yeah, well, and that, I'm okay with losing slow as long as, yeah, because I know I'm going to keep it off. I want to be able to keep it off. If it comes off slow and it takes me a year and...
Yeah, I mean, all that's fine. I think that's great, but I want you to really think about this. Are you really okay that you haven't lost any weight?
No.
Basically an epidemic. Right. I mean, like, just tell yourself that there's nothing, like, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. This is what I want all of you to hear. Very often I'll ask you these questions and you guys will immediately go into sugarcoating why you're not meeting your goals. As if the alternative is I must whip myself on a post if I'm not. It's like, what, like, why is it, why can't you just say, like, I'm totally not okay with it? It'd be great. Like, it'd be great if last month I'd lost, wait a minute, my mic keeps falling off today. I'll have to just hold it. My little clip's not working. Like, what would be the problem with just saying, you know, I'm really not okay with it. I would have liked to have lost like 5 pounds last month. So I'm here to figure out how I can do that this month.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. I do want to lose more weight. And I know that I'm capable of losing it. And I know the storm eating and the grab assing is the reason why I'm, you know, staying the same. I'm not doing it every day. I'm making my 24-hour plan every day.
Yeah.
I would say I'm about 60% on staying on my plan. There's days when I have full moments of clarity that I'm getting it. And I'm proud of myself, and I don't, you know, I'm planning realistically. And then the next thing I know, I'm shoving a piece of pizza in my mouth.
Why?
Because it was there. It was unusual, well, not unusual, but it had a situation that hasn't happened since I've started my journey. So at work, I'm literally have my apple and my cheese, my snack in my hand. And my supervisor brings in two pizzas into a very small room. And my first thought is, nope, it's not in my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, this is where I call it, I wrote some notes down because.
Well, what made you eat the pizza?
Because I wanted it.
Right, because you're okay with losing your weight slow.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you're setting yourself up for slow weight loss because when pizza comes out of the blue, mm-hmm. if you're okay with losing it slow, you'll do little things to slow you down.
And I even said in my brain, I call it my asshole brain. It's like, oh, well, this is the mistakes. They say that you're going to make mistakes. It's one of those mistakes. And you can.
Yeah, it is one of those mistakes. This is where we have to like sniff out that the thought I'm okay with losing it slow caused me to eat this.
Right.
Right. Are you okay with like, this is the difference. Like if it was me and I had wanted to lose 4 pounds in April, the last thing I would tell myself is, oh, I'm okay with losing it slow. What do you think I would tell myself about not have losing 4 pounds in April?
I would think that I'm giving up on myself. You know, I'm
what do you think I would say about me? Put your brain into Corinne's brain for a minute. What do you think Corinne would go to?
I wish. I can't see you not losing 4 pounds and when you say you're going to do it.
No, let's just say I did. I had plenty of times when I was losing 100 that I didn't lose shit in a month.
So I would think that you would look at your data and what am I going to do different?
Yeah, but what do you think I was thinking, though, in order to get me to do that?
I'm stumped. That's where I, you know, and I do this, I kind of brain fade when it comes to trying to figure out why I say this is, you know, this is just a mistake. This, you know, I'm almost too easy on myself. Instead of beating myself up, I'm too
easy. You don't need to beat yourself up, but let's just go right back. Because you're wanting to take me to all these other problems, which is not the problem. Okay. You're confusing yourself.
I am.
You did not lose weight in April. I did not lose weight in April. You think, oh, it's okay. Because I'm okay with losing weight slow. And that makes you feel what? I'm okay with losing it slow.
Well, it makes me feel kind of shitty.
No, that's a different thought.
Let me sit back down. I had to shut the door. Sorry.
It's okay. When you think it's okay. It's okay. I don't mind losing it slow. That makes you feel what?
Lazy.
Complacent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy.
And I loved that the four basics, it being so simple, and I was on fire, and I do rock the four basics, and I'm so proud of myself. I quit drinking alcohol for the most part. I mean,
what was your thought when you were doing the four basics on fire? What were you thinking about weight loss then?
It was just coming off. I mean, I lost 5 pounds the first week, and I know, you know.
But in order to do all that week, like, say you were going to, like, lose, say your goal was 5 pounds the first month, you were thinking what?
You know, I wasn't even focused on, I was just focused on changing my habits.
And what were you thinking in order to do that?
I just focused on the four basics.
Yeah, I know, but I want you to give me a thought.
Okay.
The four basics, you eating the four basics is an action. Okay. You start doing the P&P stuff. And your thought was what?
This is going to work?
Yeah. Which is very different than I'm okay with losing it really slow. This is going to work feels like what?
Like success.
You think this is going to work. What feeling do you feel in your body?
Strength.
Right. And when you have strength and confidence, you do shit.
Right.
And when you think, I'm okay with losing it really slow.
Yeah, complacent.
You feel complacent. And then when pizza comes in, it's like, ooh, that looks good. Since I'm losing it slow, I might as well have a piece.
Make a mistake.
Yeah, like mistakes are part of the process. That's like part of the slow weight loss we all experience. There's a difference when you make a mistake from confidence and determination of this is going to work. You make a mistake, it's like, this was part of the process. Time to figure out this shit so that I don't do this again versus, well, this was part of it. I sure hope this quits happening. This was your thought. Something happened very different than I've ever experienced before.
Well, not
I want ever. You to, not but ever. That is what you said.
Yeah.
I want you to watch the video, and you were just like, something very different happened. Like somebody brought in free food. The other 200 of you watching, I just want you to know right now, she has hit the new one. None of us have ever had free food.
That is true.
But do you see how our brains work? We go out to prove whatever crap we tell ourselves.
That is true.
So let's go back to me. My April comes along, not like a, like, whatever, like I'm not doing my shit regularly enough. I'm just maintaining my weight and whatever. When I was losing my weight, I would always, like when I would not lose weight, the first thing I would say is, next week's going to be better. And the reason why was because I was going to work harder. I was never going to just deprive and do all this other stuff. I was like, I am doing the right things. I am not giving up. I'm going to figure out if there's anything that needs to be changed. Like I was so determined. That is a very different energy than going into the month with that smooth. And this is the reason why you guys do that to yourselves. It's because you're afraid if you don't talk that way to yourself, then you're going to go straight to being an asshole. Like, well, I didn't lose 4 pounds. So now I have to tell myself, well, you're a loser. You can't figure it out. There is a middle ground between not holding yourself accountable and totally giving yourself a beat down. And everybody needs to come to the middle to do it. And that's where I was. I was always in the middle. It's like, this is not a reason to be ashamed, but this is also not a reason to just let myself off the hook. Like there's shit to clean up. Obviously, if I'm not losing weight after a month, We need to figure out what's going on and be willing to make some of those changes. And right. I'm going to tell you, there are never that many changes to make. I would bet you if we went through every food log of yours for a solid month, I could find the smallest of things. It would be like let's say you had 10 overeats. Could we get it down to 5? Could the other 5, could we just learn how not to overeat? Could we just change something in that day? Like, what would you have changed in that day that might have made all the difference in the world that night?
Literally, are you asking me this question?
I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. That's kind of how I would do it. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Say that again.
What are your thoughts on your storm eating? What is going to have to change to get you to quit storm eating?
Well, it's like I have this inside chatter. I have my intelligent, conscious brain saying this is not on your plan. A lot of times I listen to myself, but when that little asshole comes out, and that's what I call it, it's a little asshole. It's just like, well, you know, I'm making the choice to eat this cookie. I'm making this choice, and it's a spoiled. It's like a spoiled little child that wants her way. Yeah. And I can't, and I give in to her, and then I regret it and sit and I make my, you know, I fill out my recovery worksheet, write the same damn thing about, you know, the triggers and as I'm, you know, what can I say to myself differently so I don't pick that cookie or I
so like, what would you say? So you've been saying, I just want it and stuff like that. And your conscious brain has tried saying it's not on the plan. So what is the other 10 things you've tried?
It's not on the plan. What is your, how is this serving your goal? Mm-hmm. we're figuring this out. This is, you know,
but what are you doing though? What are you doing?
I'm eating the damn cookie. I mean, there's one thing I did was I only ate half the cookie.
Well, that's better. But like what, like this is the thing. There's, I like that you're doing the thoughts, but are you saying, and I can have that cookie, but I've got to take a 15-minute break. Like I have to sit here with the cookie for 15 minutes before I get to eat it.
I haven't done that.
Why?
I've sat and not had the cookie for 5 minutes, like go and have some water. And I would go and I'd drink my water. But that cookie is like, I mean, that it's that spoiled child saying, you know, I want that damn cookie.
All right. So then that's when that voice comes up, what do you think of that voice other than it being a spoiled child and an asshole? You're awful mean to it.
Well, it drives me crazy that I have this inside chatter. It's almost like
why does it drive you crazy?
Because I can't seem to use the logical brain and make the right choice that I know I'm going to be proud of myself with.
It's because you're arguing with that voice. It's because you're not actually using this part yet.
Okay.
You're wanting that one to be quiet and you're wanting that part to be over rather than stepping back and watching all of it unfold. Like when you want the cookie, are you actually going and sitting in a chair and listening to your thoughts and writing them down?
No, I write them down after.
Let's do it in the middle.
Okay.
So like for all of you, this part right here is a big thing. When you want, like if you really want to break your ties with food, you need to say like, okay, I'm going to set myself up. Today, I'm going to lay out cookies, but they're not on the plan. Like I'm going to figure out a way to make this a situation where I am I'm throwing myself into the urge. And you do it with a piece of paper. You listen to yourself argue and you write that stuff down and you watch it and you don't judge it. You don't wish it away. You don't think it's taking too long. You don't do any of that. It's like the moment you do that, you're like, nope, how am I feeling? And these are the things I'm thinking. That's you allowing an urge to come in and watch the urge. Right now, what you guys are doing is you're in there in a fight with the urge. Y'all are wrestling with it and arguing with it and your brain's going, well, how is this going to serve your goals? Like even those are better thoughts, but you're doing it in a way that says, I'm going to say these things because I need you to go away.
Right.
Rather than, I'm going to say these things while you're here and we're still not going to eat. Watch the first caller when I talk about late. When you're having a food urge, you need to do the exercise where you sit for 2 minutes and you let it go through your body and you focus on what's actually going on in your body. And then you can pay attention to what's happening in your brain.
I did take a ton of notes from that first call. I did. And I will go back. I will go back and watch, rewatch that and this one to let it sink in.
You know, one of the things I like to tell myself is it just feels intolerable right now. It's not that it is. It just feels that way.
Right.
It's separating yourself from what you think's going on from what actually is going on. So do that.
Okay. I will.
With paper.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I won't just think it. Yeah. I've got my paper out and I've never been a journaler. So I'm doing so many things right. I really am. I've stepped out of my comfort zone. I never would journal. I've tried in the past and like, oh, that's not for me. So I'm getting that out. I'm just, you know, I'm taking my baby steps and I'm really happy with how far I've come.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do need to be maybe a little tougher on myself on not settling for, you know, no weight loss in a month.
Yeah. Just being like, you know, I'm not okay with really slow weight loss. You know what I'm okay with? Holding myself accountable to my goals.
Right. Okay. All right.
Because I do want you guys to lose it in the right way. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. If you're losing weight slow and you're doing it the right way, that's one thing. But if you're losing weight slow because you're using that as an excuse to overeat, that's not doing it the right way.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm doing. Now that you put it out there that way, that is what I'm doing. You're absolutely right. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you. And thank you for showing me the cat.
Yes. Yeah. All right. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's it for today. If you ask questions in Q&A, will you make sure you take them over to Ask Coaches? If you go to www.pnptribe.com, get coached. I'm sorry, it's called Get Coached, and then Ask Coaches. Take your questions over there and let the girls help you. They'll answer you within 24 hours. All right, guys, that's it for today. Queens Club, if you're a Queens Club member, I will see you tonight for more coaching and office hours. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.